Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
We're starting to wrap up all of our spring previews. We are at Vanderbilt at this point. Joey Dwyer joins us from Vandy 24/7 now. We'll start with kind of a softball question, but is Diego Pavia the most popular player in college football?
I mean, he's more than any other Vanderbilt player has been over the last couple of years, or even at any time in program history, he's popular. And I think that's something that they've tried to hang their hat on. They've tried to take advantage of that. He's been a big recruiter for them. He's been the face of everything they do. They've done a nice job marketing him and kind of putting him everywhere. So I don't think it's super far-fetched to say that he's one of the most popular players in the country, but I think Vanderbilt knows that it's not going to have a whole lot of guys like him throughout its history. And it's really come out of nowhere. I mean, they didn't even know for sure that he'd be the starter heading into the fall last year. And now his legend has taken on a life of its own. It's amazing what a couple months can do.
So that being said, you know, he won some big games last year, but I wouldn't necessarily say that he was a great quarterback last year. You know, stats are just kind of pedestrian. He just has that whatever the unknown, the intangible thing going for him. Can he be a better passer this year? Can he be a more effective quarterback for Vanderbilt?
He definitely can be a more effective quarterback. And first of all, they need better receivers. They need better line play. And the receiver question is still a huge thing around Vanderbilt's program. I think they actually got worse at receiver, and they're going to have to address that in the spring portal. They've got a couple guys visiting, but they've got to get a game changer there if they want to do anything. Eli Stowers coming back really helps them, and I think the offensive line did get better. They got 5 transfers there, and I think all of them are going to be able to contribute in some form or fashion. But yeah, you're right, Diego Pavia has to be better, and it's funny to say that considering how much success he led them to last year. But like you said, the passing numbers aren't gaudy, and I think the running numbers gradually got worse throughout the year just as a result of his health, and they've got to find a way to keep him healthier. But also, he is kind of what he is in terms of his game, and he's not really going to back off guys. He's not really going to pull up when he knows he could get hit. Diego Pavia is, by all accounts, the guy who's going to embrace the hit and is going to try to get an extra yard or two on the play, which is great in theory, but also being healthy has got to be a priority for them. They've got a backup battle right now. I think it's going to be Blaze Berlowitz, but right now Diego Pavia certainly has some room to improve, and he didn't practice a lot in the spring, kind of in the hopes that he would stay healthy and become healthier throughout the spring. So I think that's number one on the checklist. And then more so than anything, he could improve in his game, which I think he has improvements, but I thought he was pretty accurate for the most part. I thought he made good decisions with the ball, and those are the things that allowed them to really generate offense throughout the year. They've got to get better receivers, though, and they've got to protect them a little bit better.
So who are those receivers going to be? Because as you said, you're concerned about that. Who can step up and be? You know, it's crazy when you look at the SEC stats all time that Vanderbilt has the 2 all-time leading receivers in the history of this conference. They've had great receivers in the past. Who can step up and be that person for the Commodores this year?
Well, first of all, I think you got to look at Junior Sherrill. Caught the big touchdown against Alabama last year. He's a local kid, really fast, a pretty good route runner. And then beyond that, you're looking at it and you're saying, wow, I don't know where they're going to get production from. They got Chance Fitzgerald from Virginia Tech. He's really physically gifted, but overall didn't make a huge splash in spring ball. Joseph McVay was out for a good portion of spring ball. He's a guy who I think they're betting on having a high ceiling, but really has only made splash plays throughout his tenure at Vanderbilt, really hasn't done the fundamental things incredibly well. They've got a couple sophomore receivers who I think are undersized but have some ability, and then, man, they've got some freshmen that are coming in and could maybe do some things. The one that I look at who has a rapport with Diego Pavia that's coming in the summer is Trent Hudson, and man, they are putting all their eggs in the Trent Hudson basket at this point. I think they're going to try to get another receiver or two in the spring portal window, but Trent Hudson is a big-bodied red zone threat, and man, they are going to need him to step up. I think the answer more than any other receiver is you're looking at Eli Stowers to do similar things to what he did last year, and then you're maybe looking at Cole Spence, who's mainly been used as more of a blocking tight end, to maybe expand his receiving role a tiny bit. I don't think he's going to get anywhere near Stowers, but I actually think he's one of their more talented pass catchers, which is kind of weird to say for a guy who's primarily been used as a blocking tight end. Maybe they use him a little bit more, but man, they're going to have some work to do in the spring portal window at receiver for sure if this holds.
I was going to mention Stowers, who maybe made my preseason All SEC tight end, just a really talented guy. Trent Hudson's a name that's going to be familiar to some Mississippi State fans, obviously coming to Vanderbilt from Starkville. Did not make much of an impact here. We'll see if he can do it up in Nashville. What about defensively? You know, Clark Lee is a defensive head coach by trade. Defensively last year, Vanderbilt was, I would say they had some really good moments, but they also had some moments where they just couldn't get stops. Maybe inconsistent is the right word. I think this is a defense, though, that could take a big step forward this year. What do you think?
Yeah, I do too. I think this is one of the best defenses, if not the best defense that Clark Lee has constructed. I think, first of all, they have the high-end playmakers. They have Brandon Fontenette, right? Martell Hyde, I think, has a chance to be one of the better corners in the league. And I think the thing to watch with their corners is, can they play more man coverage? They played 88% zone last year. And I think that hurt them in terms of being able to really put their foot down and stop people. But I do think they're better at corner this year. At least they have more depth there. They have two guys coming off of major health issues. Obviously, Marlon Jones, the corner, the FCS corner, had cancer and beat it. So congratulations to Marlon Jones. That's incredible. And then Mark Davis was another FCS transfer that tore his Achilles, and Vanderbilt's really going to have to see if either of them can give them anything. But I think both are very gifted. Martell Hyde, obviously gifted as well. Jalen Lackey, they're betting on to take a step at corner. So I think their secondary could definitely be improved. Also, CJ Hurd, a transfer from FAU, can really come down in the box and hit. So I think that's the area where I look at them being really improved. I think their linebacker depth is good. Jamison Curtis is a second or third team linebacker that's made a leap. Their pass rush, I still think, leaves a little bit to be desired. I think they have some good space eaters there. But I think Cordae Sidner and Zaylen Wood are still their probably two most gifted pass rushers. And I don't know that that's exactly the position they wanted to be in at this point. Easton Wataha, I think, could take a leap there as well. But overall, I think the defensive line has got to show me some things. We know they're good. We know they're deep. But do they have a real standout playmaker? I'm not sure. On the back end, though, I think they've got potential to really have high-end ability.
We're going to learn all about this Vanderbilt team pretty early in the season. Trips, you know, week two, they go to Virginia Tech, who's going to obviously going to be looking to get a little bit of revenge after what happened in Nashville last year. And then week three at South Carolina, a team that a lot of people are going to say could be in the playoff discussion this year. What's our best and worst case scenarios for those first three games of the season? I'll just go ahead and chalk up Charleston Southern as a win for the Commodores. Can they be 3-0 in that? What happens if they're 2-1? What if they're 1-2?
Well, South Carolina has never been a game that Vanderbilt has seemed to win, regardless of how good South Carolina is. Vanderbilt just, for some reason, can never get over that hump. So I would guess that's a loss. And going to Virginia Tech week one, I think, is going to be difficult. I haven't followed up to see if that's a night game or not, but if it is, I mean, that's going to be...
It says TBD here, so we'll have to wait.
Going to be more difficult if it's a night game as well. I think they're capable of winning their first two games. South Carolina, though, I wouldn't bet on them winning. I don't, even if they're 1-2, I don't think that necessarily reflects the type of team they are, because I think they are better than they were last year in a lot of ways. Obviously, we've talked about got to improve a receiver. I think they probably need another edge rusher too. They've added some depth on the D-line through the portal, but I don't think any huge game changers. So I don't think a 1-2 start signals disaster. If they're 3-0, obviously that means they've really got something. If they go and beat South Carolina, like you said, maybe a playoff team. But man, I do think that there's a real shot they go 2-1 there, and a non-zero chance they go 3-0, which I think is completely foreign territory for this Vanderbilt program.
So I'll ask you the last question here, and this is the same question I've asked everybody I've done these interviews with. The last game of the season for Vanderbilt is November 29th. Obviously, they'll take on Tennessee in Knoxville. After that game, what are we saying about this Vanderbilt team?
I think in a lot of ways you're looking at it and you're saying they were improved, but I think what we're still yet to figure out is how much does that reflect in the record? Because I think they've had better teams in the past that really haven't performed. I think 2 years ago, you look at 2023, and that was one of their more talented rosters that they've had, and they won two games with it. So can Clark Lee maximize this team? Can Tim Beck's offense kind of evolve relative to what it was last year? It got figured out over the course of the second half of the season. So I think there's a lot of unknown as to how many games they actually win. What I do think is that they're more talented, and I think that's really all we know at this point. How do they match up with these teams? I'm not sure. How does Tim Beck's offense evolve? Does Clark Lee have enough in the front seven defensively? How does Steve Gregory transition into being the primary defensive play caller? I think there is a lot of unknown, which is weird to say about a program that returns so much production and returns so much experience. But I think you're still looking at it, and there's a lot to be determined in fall camp, but even more so that we'll learn, like you said, in the first 3 weeks.
We'll find out. Vanderbilt, great story last season. We'll see if they can follow up with another good season this year. Joey Dwyer, Vandy 24/7, man. Thanks so much for your time. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.